The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. Hey, if you want to join us on the show this morning, you know we go from 8 to 10. The call-in number is 530-605-4567. If you want to chat or stream live, go to readingteaparty.com and click on the radio show link. And I just wanted to tell you a little bit about where that will take you. That will open up our media page where you can find out about previous shows. Everything's archived. Everything about our guests today and all things sponsor-related, advertiser-related, and lots of links to different things about the Tea Party.
And feel free to email us and let us know if you have ideas for shows or if you've read really great books and you'd like to hear more from the author. Or what happens most of the time on AM radio is you heard an interview with somebody for 5 minutes and you're thinking, what? You know, 5 minutes, that's not enough. Call us. Because we'll give them a lot more time than that, and we can actually go through the subject matter, which is awesome.
Yeah, and I think some of our best shows have come, the ideas have come from other people.
Absolutely. We don't know. I mean, we don't know everybody at all. So
It's a community effort.
What was my other thought there? Oh, yeah. On when you go to wethepeopleradio.us, you will see across the top bar that you can link to videos. A lot of those are videos of the Reading Tea Party. You can also, you know, link backward to the readingteaparty.com website. It all interconnects. And lots of great ideas, lots of great information. I don't know, 2,500 plus people participating in that site as a social network. And then the video page not only includes guests that we've had at our meetings, you'll also, our guest from today will be at the Reading Tea Party tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, so there will be a video up from that. So, you know, I might check back with that. But, you know, lots of different things. We have a whole section on Agenda 21, huge section on the monetary system, all sorts of videos. Robert's always culling out videos and creating pages for different topics. So that page is really worth tuning into, especially if you're not somewhere where you can interact live with people. If you can't go to anything and you're thinking, I'm the only one who thinks like this, you're obviously not the only one. So
right.
Go plug in with folks. Use technology to help you be engaged and be involved in. You're more than welcome to add things to the Reading Tea Party site because we have never moderated it. We've never had any type of approval process. And people said a couple years ago, oh, you'll never be able to do that. You'll have to, you'll have to screen the information that goes on there or it'll just go wild. And you know what? It's gone wild a couple times, but, you know.
But we all want to protect our First Amendment rights.
Exactly. So go on there and post if you'd like to.
And just so you know that we encompass people from all walks of life. If you were to go to one of our meetings on Monday nights, you would see Democrats and Republicans and Independents and Libertarians and young folks and older folks and public service employees and private employees and retired and working and moms and you name it. You know,
it's not just a bunch of old people either. You know, people always go, well, everyone in the Tea Party movement's so old. It's like, not necessarily. We have several high school and college age. I'm just noticing that the age group is getting younger and younger. And the biggest thing is plugging in and doing something. Once you start doing something, it's fun to go. It's fun to be part of it. We work with all the groups that are going the direction we are and have helped either set up or train groups from Sacramento all the way up to Bend, Oregon. So there are a lot of people working together, although the Tea Party doesn't have a spokesperson.
No,
and it's kind of time we reiterated that to people again. We figure by now folks know, but they really don't. You know, I had some people that got really angry that about the debt ceiling and, you know, the Tea Party was just complaining all the time. And, you know, you can't really say the Tea Party was doing anything because it's a whole bunch of groups that don't answer to anyone.
Right. You know, I read, and I showed you the article I read in Time magazine this week, which was shocking.
Right.
But there was several pages about the Tea Party movement and basically what it said was that this grassroots groundswell is the largest and, you know, we'd like to say we're not political, but I guess we really are, the largest grassroots political movement since the anti-war movement in the 1960s.
Well, we are political. We can't say
we really
we're not
are.
Political.
But people would not, like to say...
But people want to say that we're partisan. They want to say everybody's a Republican and that we're shills for the Republican Party. And anybody who thought that should have... You just flip back through the website during the debt ceiling debate.
Yeah, and you watch. We debate with each other all the time.
Absolutely. Well, we've got Kirk McKenzie on the phone with us this morning. He hasn't actually arrived in our town yet. He's coming tomorrow. But let me give a little blurb on him. Let's see. If you go to wethepeopleradio.us, you will see on there that Kirk does a lot of work online through silentnomorepublications.com. He's the author of a book called Money, which is just a totally unique book. Each page in that book has...
A left and a right.
Yeah, the topic on the left and then any kind of graphic information on the right. So it's a great book for somebody who really isn't understanding or would like more understanding of what's going on with our monetary system and how all that stuff works. And it's kind of a minefield out there. Mm-hmm. And this book has really got good bite-sized information.
Yeah, because if you turn to page two, you've got page two on the left and you have page two on the right. The left is the verbiage to back up the topic, and the right are the visual aids. So if you don't follow, if you're not a reader, you just look to page two on the right, and it gives you all of the graphics and the visual aids so that you can understand it.
Yeah, because if we want to be literal, page two is Goldman Sachs. So on the left, you have all the corruption and all that lined out with dates and places and times. And on the right, it's literally a flow chart of the money trail.
You guys got to get this book.
It's very cool.
It's incredible.
He'll have them there tomorrow night. I don't know how much they are, but we have Kirk on the
line. It's really
so
worth it.
He'll give us more intel. But I wanted to finish here. He's got a son who's a career Air Force. Oh, he's the son of a career Air Force colonel. He has degrees in electrical engineering and business administration and spent most of his career in high tech. He has decided to stand up and make a difference. And he's coming up to Northern California to do some filming and teaching and training.
Awesome.
All on kind of on his time. And
we thank him for that.
Yes, we do, because it takes everybody and their expertise and effort. So,
welcome. Are you there, Kirk?
Kirk's been trapped on hold.
Yeah, you've been there now, what, 15, 20 minutes?
Yeah, sorry about that. Hey, we have a lot of stuff to, if we don't do it at the beginning, then we get all carried away and we forget.
Yeah.
we're like little kids, you know, we gotta eat our peas first. Isn't that the deal?
Yeah, yeah. And then we get dessert.
You'll be here tomorrow night, and the focus tomorrow night is called Taking Our Country Back, correct?
I'll Take Our Country Back.
So
actually, it's part one, and there's actually just now yesterday wrapped up part two, and hopefully not too distant future will be up on YouTube.
Oh, awesome. So tomorrow night we're doing basically the part one?
Yeah, as it turned out, the part one we're doing, and that's when you look at it, it's kind of the bigger picture. It's kind of more like a strategy, and then the question then is, how do you accomplish the strategy? What are the tactics and techniques that you need in order to do that? So I realized that there's kind of a missing component, and you know, between them, the goal here is to develop a workshop, because it's very clear. You know, I as a presenter talk to a lot of groups, and it's very clear that there's different levels of understanding of issues, different levels of understanding how to run organizations, different levels of this, that, and the other. And what we really need is a consistent workshop that all these groups can access and teach their new members. So I'm putting that together, and people can use it if they choose. But part two will be the tactics.
Fantastic. And God forbid, we can use, it's funny, every single topic that we do, every single time that we present anything to even a group of three people in a tiny town, you know, the first thing people say is, you know, what can we do? We've gotten to that point where a lot of us don't know a lot about what's happening with government, and especially when, you know, we get into all these huge topics on our financial situation. Everybody's having big financial situations at home, too.
Oh, they are.
I think
we
all like a helper there, too, you know?
Yeah.
We spend most of our time walking around. I tell you, it's just like Atlas Shrugged, you know?
And, you know, it's becoming more and more common, no matter what circle you are in, to hear how people have been affected by the banks.
That's a huge one. So that's what we asked him to talk to us about today, was let's kind of start at the beginning and do a little bit of a kind of monetary 101, I guess, if you will, because the subtitle of your book is entitled Money is Defending Your Prosperity. So we figured, okay, if we start there and then people can meet you tomorrow with sort of the follow-up, that'd make a lot of sense. So we're going to take a quick break here. And we'll be right back with Kirk McKenzie, the author of Money. You can follow along at wethepeopleradio.us. Call a friend, have them jump online, even if they're outside the listening area. And if you want to call us, you better do it early. Okay? Phone number 530-605-4567. We're here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
In the day we were all. Stage, my hands were clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break that Satan spell. And me and all my friends, we're all misunderstood. They say we stand for nothing, and there's no way we ever could.
Now, welcome back to We the People Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460. Give us a call at 530-605-4567. You're joining Elizabeth, Aaron, and Bob. Just wanted to remind you that Mr. Kurt McKenzie will be at the Reading Tea Party tomorrow night, Monday evening, 6 o'clock. So if you don't live in this area, you can pull up the companion video to go with today's show. Kirk, are you in there?
I am.
Right on. Okay, where would you like us to start today?
Well, maybe if you'd like to start with basic monetary concepts, I could talk about debt monetization and inflation. That sound good?
I can't think of anything I'd rather talk about on Sunday morning, Elizabeth. And I'm going to go grocery shopping right after this.
Oh, that's good.
So, oh, man.
It's one of those kind of days. Hey, so fire away.
Okay, so I think that the whole premise of the book is to make people, give them a primer to understand that the monetary system, which most people think is boring or obscure or complicated or, you know, doesn't involve them, to really make it clear that it does. And in fact, it's the people behind the monetary system that are just doing everything else to us, and it's the monetary system that empowers them. So one of the basic concepts is this thing called debt monetization. We have what's called the debt monetized currency. Now, gold and silver are themselves assets, and by the Constitution, they are the only currency we're supposed to have in this country. Then out came some things called silver certificates, gold certificates. They were just pieces of paper, but they were claims on gold and silver, and you can go to the Treasury or to depository, and you can get something real in exchange. So at least they were exchangeable, and each one of them was backed up by the equivalent amount of gold or silver. So the asset, they were asset-based. What we have now is a currency that the banks have a monopoly on the issuance of currency. You know, as you're a growing nation, you need to have an increase in the money supply. And how do you get that? And today, the only people that have any ability to issue money into the currency are the banks. And banks will only do this by lending it out. So, in fact, when they lend out, they're creating new money. When you borrow, it's not somebody else's deposits. It's actually new money created out of thin air that you're borrowing. And so the result is that an increase in our money supply necessarily means an increase in debt. In fact, they're axiomatic. Debt is money, and money is debt. And what backs up this new kind of currency? Well, the answer is your slavery, your indentured servitude. When you sign a mortgage, you become an indentured servant. And when the federal government borrows, they make you an indentured servant. And when debt becomes perpetual, it becomes bondage. It becomes a form of slavery. And one of my favorite quotes is Leo Tolstoy, money is a new form of slavery, indistinguishable from the old simply by the fact that it is impersonal, that there is no human relation between master and slave. So where we stand today is that as the country grows, the money supply grows, the debt's going to grow with it. I mean, it's axiomatic. So, you know, if you kind of stand back and you look at our country, all the wealth our country produces and trees and forestry products and farming and ranching and mining and timbermen and the technology, all the various aspects, you have to stand back and just kind of hit your head and slap it on the side and wake up and go, then why are we in any debt? And the answer is the monetary system itself guarantees it. It's built in. And it's equal to every asset, you know, that there is. And so people become essentially serfs in this new kind of feudalism. And 95% of homes, for example, are under mortgage. You're not a homeowner. They call you a homeowner. No, you are a tenant in a property owned by the bank, and they can change your rent on a monthly basis with adjustable rate mortgages. So we have this national debate going on about debt reduction. In fact, they confuse the words deficit versus debt. Deficit reduction, and I'm not even talking about debt reduction. So there's this national debate going on, and we have politicians that would like us to vote for them saying, we're going to go do something about that. And they don't even understand the basic concept of debt monetization. Folks, it is impossible to pay down the debt with a debt-monetized currency. You have to borrow to pay down your prior bills. And guess what? The interest makes sure that what you have to come up to pay back your bills is 3 to 4 times bigger what you borrowed to begin with. It is impossible. If you did, then when you pay down the debt, you're going to collapse the money supply and the economy right with it. The only way out of this debt crisis is to change the monetary system. And we have got to the people must understand this first, because I guarantee you the politicians are not leading in this area, with the exception of Ron and Rand Paul, perhaps. The politicians, either Republican or Democrat, neither of them are going to, they understand this, or if they do, they're not going to tell us about the untouchables are the bankers who, in my opinion, control both parties and now the political system. They control the TV, which is all emanates from New York City. They control 95% of magazine publications, all coming from New York City. You know, they're kind of like the Wizard of Oz. They're these little guys in the back behind the curtain, and they have these big levers they're controlling, and they're doing that. So,
meanwhile, the fiery head is burning up our our world out here.
Yeah. So this debt monetization is important. Now, the next issue is inflation, because inflation is stealing, you know, your prosperity, our prosperity. It steals your income, although it looks like it's growing each year, and bank money, in fact, in real purchasing terms, is going down dramatically. So what causes that? And people would like us to believe that that's a result of capitalism or something of that nature, economic cycles. Nothing could be further from the truth. If you put a $100 bill in your purse or wallet, and a year from now you take it out and you can only buy $90 worth of stuff compared to what here, what happened to that $10? And year after year after year after year, this attrition of your prosperity. Well, the answer is as follows. Anybody who owns a share of stock in a company would understand the analogy. The share of stock in a company is worth the value of the company divided by the number of shares outstanding. If the number of shares increases, let's suppose the board of directors decides to give, it increases the number of shares 10% every year and gives all the new shares to itself, then guess what? The value of every share, it's still, you pull it out, it still says a share, but in fact now it's worth only 80 cents, you know, 80% of what it was. This is exactly the process that's going on in the monetary system. When people borrow, and when they issue this debt, they increase the money supply, and if there's no offsetting increase in real stuff, you know, real value, buildings and land and homes, schools, roads, parks, then what happens is that the value of the currency goes down. And when they issue that loan, it's essentially the same as stealing $10 from you, 10%, and then transferring that somebody else who now becomes a new indentured servant, and they continue to grow in their role as the landlords. These simple concepts will help the people to understand the monetary system in probably the most important and, in fact, the simplest way that they possibly could. And once you begin to realize that inflation is actually not just something mystical, but the inevitable outcome of the policies that these bankers are doing to us, that then this is how our wealth is being destroyed. You know, the reason that we think that things go up in value is because we're measuring them to bank dollars. So you think gold's going up and silver's going up, food's going up, gas is going up, home prices are going up. But if you actually say, well, let's see what it costs me to buy a home in, say, you know, cartons of eggs. How many cartons of eggs or how many Snickers bars or how many bushels of wheat does it take to buy a home or how many, you know, ounces of gold? What you discover is that the value of real things compared to real things is relatively constant. And when you look at those things that way and you say, well, how many banknotes can I buy with those? It's the banknotes that are plummeting in value. They're the only thing plumbing in value. Everything else is real. Mm-hmm. The only reason it looks like we have inflation is because our currency is plummeting. And therefore, it takes more currency to buy the same thing than it did last year. So I'll take another one last example, then I'll stop. People think in terms of inflation, appreciation. For example, homes in my area back in 1950 were constructed for $30,000. Today, perhaps, they could be sold for $1.5 million. Wow, $1,470,000 has been made. What a nest egg. I've done really well, right? But if you measure the value in gold, it turns out that the price of the home went from $30,000 to $47,500. It's only $17,500 of increase. And I've double-checked and I've studied this. It's due entirely to the increase in the population. In other words, there's an increase in demand. So what happens is you really made $17,500, but guess what? The federal government says, hey, wait a minute, you have $1,470,000 in taxable capital gains. They have the audacity to steal the value of our currencies and then come back and tax us on dollar devaluation. It is not appreciation. The appreciation is only $17,500. The rest of that is entirely dollar devaluation, which they want to tax you on as well.
Well, they get us coming and going, don't they?
I think that's kind of an evil level of double dipping, and we're going to come back and we're going to follow that trail up here in just 2 minutes. You got a chance to get a little coffee here. Join us back here at We the People Radio with Kirk McKenzie, the author of Money, here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
Yeah, we're an independent bunch. We don't want to be told what to do. We can take care of ourselves.
This is my life.
It's kind of a libertarian song there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. Welcome back to We the People Talk
like
Radio.
It.
Give us a call, 530-605-4567. Go to wethepeopleradio.us. We're streaming live and chatting. We want you to join us.
Because if we're going to take back our life, we got to figure out what's in it.
So without further ado, back to Mr. Kurt McKenzie. We were talking about the government double dipping.
Yeah, demystifying the monetary system. Okay, fire away, Kirk. Where are we going now?
Well, I think that then it really adds new meaning to this whole debate about the debt. I mean, they're basically gaming us. I mean, we have, in my opinion, the right Republican Party and the Democratic Party are left and right side of the same darn thing. I mean, have you ever noticed the when the Democrats are in office and Republicans go on to be elected, they talk about fiscal responsibility and they talk about ending social programs. Then when they get in office, what they do is spend more, increase more debt than the Democrats. Up prior to Obama, it was the Republicans that were increasing, creating most of the national debt. And they never ran the social programs. They never shut down the Department of Education, for example. But the Republicans are in office. The Democrats talk, oh, my God, the people, the jobs, we got to help them out. I mean, those wars are terrible. They get in office. Guess what? The wars never end. They continue to grow. We expand into more areas where we have war, and the social programs increase. We're simply just being ping-pong back between two messages, imperialism and socialism, and both of them are actually supporting the others, despite the fact that it appears like we have two different sides in opposition. So... Another aspect of this debt I'd like to kind of just talk about on this bit is, you know, there's this discussion, well, we've got to balance the budget now, where is it going to come from? And most people don't realize that the majority of the federal budget now is Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. So what are they talking about reducing? Social Security and Medicare. Well, I happen to be old enough to know, you know, Social Security program was sold back in the day as a savings program. The idea, what they were telling it on TV and everywhere else, that, you know, Americans, a lot of Americans don't save for their retirement, and therefore we're going to save for you, and, you know, we'll put this money away in a lockbox and it'll be safe. So what do? We shipped them the money. They promptly stole the money from the lockbox. They put it into the general fund and spent it. Now, if they just spent it, it would just be theft. But it's even worse than that. Well, they say, oh, no, we didn't steal it from you. It's not really theft. We're going to pay it back. We put an IOU in the lockbox. Who's going to pay back the IOU?
Mm-hmm. Taxpayers.
We are.
Future taxpayers who aren't working.
Our own money is stolen from us, and we're in debt for its repayment. Yeah. I mean,
it's really quite a little scam, isn't it?
Well, it, you know, this kind of goes on. Now, which programs are they talking about cutting? Why? Social Security and Medicare. Guess what? These are programs that people have been paying into for their entire lifetime. And here we are ready to kind of take, you know, draw down from our savings account. And now they're saying, well, these are entitlement programs. Well, actually, it's true. We are entitled to this money. It's our money. You know, but what are they doing is they're shifting it over to Medicaid. These are people, a lot of them being immigrants, who never paid into the system, now getting subsidized free health care. Under the Obamacare plan, they've reduced the Medicare by $500 billion. In other words, they're taking the money from the boomers and they're transferring it to the immigrants. And nobody, Republican or Democrat, is saying anything about reductions in Medicaid, nor are they saying about anything about having to do with taking off the Social Security rolls, the people who come to this country and are growing Social Security that never even paid in. They're getting benefits from the system.
And there are people who aren't from out of the country that are getting benefits. I know in college, I went to school with a guy who had quite a bit of money coming through the Social Security system because his mom contracted lupus. She was a checker at Albertsons for like 2 years, and she was able to draw on Social Security, and so was he until he was 21. And you look at that and you go, my dad was in insurance, you know, so you understand, you pay in a certain level on premium, you know, using actuarial tables, and if you pay out more than you take in, the system blows up. Well, this one would do the same thing, but we have all sorts of people who've never paid in because somehow we open the floodgates. So, yeah, I think people look at that all the time and go, hey, wait a minute, when did that happen?
Yeah. So I think that I think most of Americans, this country was formed on Christian values. Most of us are still Christian, and there's kind of this aversion to money. We don't believe that money is the end game. We believe that the end game means being good to our fellow man. That's how we'll be judged. So a lot of us don't take it seriously. We don't figure it's the be-all, end-all. So as a result, a lot of people don't pay any attention to this, but it's a point now where people really need to make the connection. They need to make the connection and understand that these international banking families are behind world government. They are behind the move towards socialist ideas, as strange as that might seem. They are behind the change in our culture. They are behind Agenda 21 and the attack on ranchers and farmers and now moving into urban areas. They are behind all of it. So it really doesn't matter. If your hot-button issue is health care, you actually have a second issue, and that's money. If your primary issue is the education of your children, not their indoctrination, but their education, your second issue is money. The, you know, Charlotte Isabite, for example, who talks about the dumbing down of America, if you study any of these issues long enough, they will lead you back to the same people, like the Rockefellers, the Morgans, the Schiffs, and so forth, that are behind all this stuff, the Rothschilds. As she concluded herself, after studying education for so many years, at some point the light goes on, these are the people. And I've studied so many, if not all of these issues, certainly a tremendous number of them, and all roads lead back to the same place. So it's important that everybody understand this. I know one thing I wanted to say about my trip up next week, for your audience to know, I'm coming up for a week, and I am thrilled to death. I was born in Pocatello, Idaho. My best summers were spent with my grandmother.
All the people that come from Idaho, I love that. Do you know Fred Kelly Grant?
Not personally,
okay,
but
okay.
I do. I know Nampa, Idaho real well. I have lots of family in Boise. When I was in school in Washington, D.C., by the way, out in Maryland, they were calling it Boise, Idaho.
Yeah. My husband and I included Boise on our road trip a couple of weeks ago. We spent 3 or 4 days there, so good people. Anyway, we digress.
So my wife and I are essentially, I mean, we go up to Montana every year. We love it. I mean, we are essentially country people at heart. We're just displaced here sitting in the San Francisco Bay Area of all places.
We're sorry.
I'm coming up not just to talk. I'm coming up to listen and to be educated. What's going on with the farms and the ranchers and the miners and the timbermen? You know, this isn't just an isolated incident anymore. It is clear that this is just an all-out assault on the prosperity of our nation. They're attacking our food supply. By attacking our food supply, they're putting this nation, you know, it's now a national security issue, in my opinion. If you can't, you know, this nation, one thing it did extremely well was food. You know, if we can't produce our own food going forward and we're importing more and more of it, it's a national security issue. I mean, it's an issue about the prosperity of our country. It's an issue about private property. So I'm coming up to get educated. I'm coming up to record personal stories and help to get the message out. So I'm really looking forward to that.
That's nice. We really appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. You're gonna meet all my friends up there in Siskiyou County. You're gonna love them. They are the best. Before we take another break here, I wanted to load your plate there a little. If you want to make a couple notes, we have one of our folks on the chat room wants to know what you think about the Penny Mac plan. And where was the other comment here? Oh, and here, Mark Twain wanted to know if you were he was wondering what you think of what's happening to the Liberty Dollar guy and what he thinks of the communities doing local currency. So,
I think that I don't know about the Penny Mac plan, so I have to profess ignorance there. As far as the Liberty Dollar, I mean, what happened to this guy is absolutely a shame. But the way this whole thing is established is that you're supposed not to be able to emulate the dollar. I believe he called his things dollars. If he simply put them out there as ounces, I think he would have been okay. That's my understanding of it. But, you know, it's interesting that we have a federal government who issues nothing but paper money in the banks and electronic ones and zeros, calls that money, and then claims that gold and silver are somehow counterfeit.
Yeah, isn't that something?
It's all in what you call it.
I mean, they're doing exactly what they put us in jail for.
Who says there's nothing
ironic
in a name? You know, Kirk, we're going to come back in 2 minutes. We're going to have a quick break here. And folks online and on the radio, you are listening to Kirk McKenzie, the author of Money. call your friends and family and have them jump on with us at wethepeopleradio.us. You can just click on the listen button and you can join us on the chat. If you're wondering what we're talking about, that people are in the chat room, you just click on the listen button and the window pops open. So you got a couple minutes to figure that out or call somebody who can help you. We'll be back here at We the People Radio at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Babylon's being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. The time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
All the gold in California is in a bank in the middle of Beverly Hills. It's somebody else's name. So if you're dreaming,
Aaron and I are not going to quit our day jobs. We just have a love for that song, and it's in our range, so we like to sing along.
It's in our range.
Welcome back to We the People Radio. Give us a call.
530. And it's on topic. Don't forget that.
Yes,
and
always.
It's on topic.
Everything's on topic. Yeah, gold's going through the roof. 530-605-4567. You can stream live or chat by going to wethepeopleradio.us. Nothing if not entertaining.
I didn't want to put that song in the second hour because I thought, wow, all those people who go to church, they never hear us goofing off. That's always in the second hour. I got to move that up. What a couple of knuckleheads. So, okay, we're going back to Kirk McKenzie, the author of Money, Defending Your Prosperity. And before we forget to announce it again, he is going to be at the Reading Tea Party, 6 o'clock, Monday night. On the 22nd. So if you're listening to this on the archive, you missed it.
And
but if you
have,
missed it,
yeah,
you got to go to the webpage, ReadingTeaParty.com, click on meeting videos.
And it doesn't matter if you live here.
Exactly.
That's the beauty of it.
Just jump in. Hey, Kirk, I was going to let you know that Russ in the chat room here is looking at this, what he was talking about with the bill that we were just speaking of. It's Mr. Mack's bill is H.R. 1848, for those folks who'd like to go look that up. He says it would cut one penny out of every dollar actually spent by the federal government from year to year for the next 6 years. So from fiscal year 2012 to fiscal year 2017, beginning in 2018, there'd be a budget gap of 18% of GDP, the average federal revenue as a percentage of GDP. And then he says 6 years, balanced budget in eight. And he says, read about it there. Mr. Mack's bill, H.R. 1848, would cut one penny out of every dollar. So I think that's kind of a fun idea.
Is that a tax?
It just says it's going to cut one penny out of every dollar. Russ, can
that
you write?
Sounds like a tax to me.
Russ, can you write back and tell me if it's a tax or not?
Like a 1% tax.
I'm channeling Russ through the chat room.
I couldn't find the chat room. I went to the site, but it switched over to teapartymedia.net.
Oh, and just go to wethepeopleradio.us, and when it comes up, there's a listen button there. It's yellow. And when you click on that, it opens up another window, and you'll be in the KCNR chat room.
Okay, fine.
And then you can just read along. Just beware, the sound will come on over the radio, and it's 7 seconds off, so... You'll be a time traveler.
And I'll have to be talking and reading and what and all at the same time.
Yeah, you might just want to let me channel for you, because it's fun, you know, except Russ is going, she's botching it. Sorry, Russ.
He'll give us more info.
Hey, so we've got Sally online, too.
Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Elizabeth. Yes, I have a question for Kirk McKenzie. Recently, a partial audit of the Federal Reserve revealed that they had printed up $16 trillion worth of money and loaned it to banks, some of whom are overseas banks in Switzerland and Belgium and Germany. And I was wondering, how is that going to affect us, and who gives them the authority to do that with our money?
Okay, so understand the the out of the Federal Reserve System, all the Federal Reserve banks are privately owned corporations. They are not government entities. That's been a lie. The only one that has the authority to underwrite, if you will, create money for international operations is the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. It has been doing so. It's been creating money for Chase Manhattan Bank, which is a Rockefeller bank, which has had banks in communist China and communist Russia and one Tiananmen Square and one Moscow Square, helping to finance the growth of communism. So this is nothing new, but the scope and the magnitude, incredible. You know, once you create money, 90% of our money supply is ones and zeros floating around in a big Quicken program, the bank's computer mm-hmm. system. I call it the Matrix. It's completely, you know, it's not even real. It's just floating around out there somewhere. And so they can create $1 trillion, you know, with a keyboard just as easily as a dollar. And they have done so. The program they did it under is called TALF. That's the Term Auction Loan Facility. It's explained in the book. It's one of about five or six different programs. You know, most Americans are dialed into QE1, QE2. Forget that stuff. $16 trillion has been loaned out. And so they just create this money, and they're lending it out. And 52% of that has gone overseas. They are underwriting banks and corporations overseas. And now the Fed is not only lending money direct, you know, to banks, it's actually lending money directly to certain corporations and so forth to certain entities. Imagine if you could get zero interest rate loans and your competitor is doing a 6% loan. You know, they're basically determining the outcome of who's going to win the corporate monopolies. I believe that a good chunk of that money has gone to underwriting the revolutions in Egypt and Libya. They're taking buckets of money down there, finding the rebels that they will work with the New World Order folks and wow. giving them money and the arms and so forth to create these problems. So it will destroy us. Now, that's a $16 trillion. Because they come through this U.S. monetary system, it's an increase in dollars. It's an increase in our monetary supply. Inevitably, this is going to create massive inflation. It's going to come. And in reality, if you look, the value of the dollar, if you watch the price of gold, if you understand gold is really the constant, then when gold goes up, what it really means is the dollar is going down. Since 2000 till 2009, the dollar had declined, and when you compare it to gold, to about 25 cents. So that's where your savings and your purchasing power are going. Today it's even worse. With gold where it is today, it's probably worth, you know, maybe 15% or 20%. So the value of our money is declining. This will only make that even worse. And I think that it goes to people like George Soros, who uses it to attack nations like Greece. I believe that they're trying to do that now in the United States and attack our currencies. So it has a direct impact in on us, and it has a direct impact on our national security, on our way of life. It has a great deal with what's going to happen with the future of the world. The terrible thing about this is once we do shut down, I believe we will hopefully get there. People will waken up enough that we'll shut down this Fed. We have to be aware they now have a bank. You know, there's 160-some-odd central banks around the world. They're behind them all, like the Bank of England, Deutsche Bank, Bank of Italy, you know, go on and on and on. You know, they can just shift, you know, what they need is a really strong, vibrant economy to siphon off of. So I have no doubt that they'll have, you know, the central bank in China will have the ability for them to, you know, take money and lend it out internationally as well. So it's a tough thing to fight these guys, but fight them we must.
Well, while you're on the subject of one world order, could you just address the topic of Rick Perry and the Bilderberg Group, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you so much.
Bye, Sally.
All right, Sally. Bye, Elizabeth.
What about me?
The phrase Novus Ordo Seclorum, anybody who has, pull out a dollar, you know, a Federal Reserve note out of your wallet and look at it, it has to be the one. And there's the words Novus Ordo Seclorum. There's different interpretations of what that means floating around out there. I'll tell you what the correct meaning is. Novus means new, ordo means world, and seclorum. It doesn't mean of the ages. It means secular new world order. So this is a new world secular order. That phrase came about when they were and put it on the Federal Reserve note in 1933 or 34 under Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He was the one that revitalized that whole thing. So they do have an intent. The Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, these are all Rockefeller type entities, and so they're all part and parcel of this. So they were, you know, they were, had these extra governmental ways of pursuing their vision of the world.
And on that, you know, scary note. Hey, to go backwards just a second before we take our news break here, I was looking at Connie Mack. It doesn't show me where he is, but I looked at his website, and actually his face is familiar to me. But it basically says it balances the budget by cutting total federal spending by 1% each year for 6 consecutive years. So it isn't an additional tax. It's a cut of federal spending. And then setting an overall spending cap of 18% of gross domestic product in 2018 and reducing overall spending by $7.5 trillion in 10 years. So just by a 1% cut, you know, we talk about all these huge numbers, and that's why they're calling it the Penny Mac plan. It's just cutting federal spending by 1%.
Well, I'm for cuts in federal spending, but I tell you where it's going to come from is the boomers. So we can't just carte blanche sales, cutting spending is great. We have to really think hard and fast about where it's going to be cut from.
Yeah, I'm looking at 3 sentences on his website. I'm sure he's thought, I'm sure there's more information available, but on a cursory
level. The other thing, to me, this is like
deal.
A, you know, small little cork floating in the ocean. It's just, you know, we are so far in the hole. These little kind of little things are just minor. We have to have some real vision and some major ideas about how we can get our country back and move back to where we were with a sound currency, get these guys off our backs. The book has a couple chapters on solutions that are worth talking about, and they're up on YouTube as well.
Nice. Somebody has on it. Lori is asking here on the chat room. We'll be taking this after the break, obviously, because in 30 seconds or less, it'd be a little rude to ask you, how do we accomplish getting rid of the Fed? there's a lot.
And that will be our second hour.
We'll run up that hill here in a minute. You are listening to We the People Radio for openers. We're speaking with Kirk McKenzie, the author of Money, Defending Your Prosperity. He will be our guest at the Reading Tea Party Monday night at 6 p.m. You can also find him on our video archives at readingteaparty.com. We're going to be back with you in just a couple of minutes here on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
And justice is the one thing you should always find. You got to saddle up your boys. You got to draw a hard line.
We'll sing a victory tune and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
More We the People straight ahead here at KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
The People Radio. You are listening to us here on KCNR 1460 AM. You can find us streaming live at wethepeopleradio.us. All you have to do is click on the listen button and the chat window will open up. That's kind of fun. If you log in, you can chat with the other folks on there, submit questions. That's always a good way to go. Lots of archives on that page. So if you have missed any of our programming, or if we're referencing things you're unfamiliar with, Agenda 21 might be something you're going, what are they talking about? That is not a private message in there. That's a large program. So go in and look. We've done lots of programming on that. We try really hard to not say things in code, but every now and then it becomes kind of a talking point we've done, so we forget. Anyway, if you have anything like that, or we're saying things you don't understand, please jump online or give us a call at 530-605-4567. So we're back with Kirk McKenzie, the author of Money, Defending Your Prosperity.
charity. And here at the top of the hour, kind of mid-program here, I was asking Kirk if he could give some connections, because he does a great Citizen Newswire. Kirk, why don't you tell folks how they can follow along with this stuff outside the mainstream media and be in the loop?
You know, that is absolutely an excellent question, and I came across this a couple years ago. You know, I've got enough gray hair. I've been listening to nightly news for my entire life, and let me tell you something. It's a complete waste of time. In fact, it's worse than that. I mean, you come home, you're tired from work, you sit there, all your defense systems go down, and this garbage is just flowing into your brain and misinformation. So they control the media. They really do. And, I mean, TV and not all talk radio, that's what they're trying to control now. They don't completely control the Internet. But they control TV and magazines and books and book rewards and so forth. So if people really want to understand and start to begin to understand the world and track it, we have to begin to listen to each other. And it turns out that I actually have dialed in. I've joined newsletters and groups across the nation. They're constantly talking, and I'm listening to all this stuff. I'm learning this stuff. I have my own studies going on. And so I will put out a Citizens Newswire. I believe that's really where we need to go, where we need to actually have it. I want to see this thing evolve in the direction of a true newswire, but the people who contribute to it are the people, not the controlled media. Not, you know, the New York and the Reuters, which is the Rothschild Newswire or New York Times Newswire, but we have our own news. And so I collect people from all this stuff that I receive in my studies. I take what I think to be some really good stuff, and I make it kind of like a real Reader's Digest. It's kind of like the outline for a book. It's just the table of contents. I have short little one-liners and then a link to information. You can go read the whole article or watch the YouTube video or go to the website. If anybody is interested in getting on that list, just email me at kirk@silentnomorepublications.com. I'd be happy to add John.
And his first name is spelled K like kangaroo, I-R-K like kangaroo, instead of T like Tom. So kirk@silentnomorepublications.com. And I've been getting that news wire of yours for a while, and I've actually sent it out through my distribution quite a few times, and because I know a lot of people are already on it, but every now and then I like to forward it out in case somebody hasn't plugged in. And I always get responses back, hey, this was a lot of great information, so... I would encourage people to do that. You've never sent me, you know, recipes or tired old internet fables from, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah, we kind of went through a lot of that in the beginning of this movement. We were getting recycled rumors.
Yeah, so I can actually guarantee people that you don't get 9,000 emails about nothing. It is really literally like a table of contents with links. So
yeah,
very worthwhile.
And, you know, you can tell by the way your book is laid out that it's just designed to be user-friendly.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. It's so important, and that's really one of the things I realize about myself and my life. I mean, even when I worked in technology, I'm the kind of guy that is very comfortable digging into enormous details. I mean, forget about just looking at the trees in the forest, talk about the pebbles, and that's what I've done for 20 years. But eventually I get it, and I like to synthesize it and simplify it for the next person. You know, experts who talk in highfalutin language either don't understand it or they want to hide it from you. It really is a sign of somebody who understands things when they can make it simple for the next person, and I very much try to do that. And I have studied it all, believe me. I have been in the monetary system. I've been in the education. I've studied all the secret societies. I understand them all quite well. New World Order stuff, the climate change stuff goes actually book. If anybody really wants to understand the roots of Agenda 21, go back and read a book called Report from Iron Mountain. It was a leaked government report, and in there they were discussing a panel of experts was convened to answer the question, how do you justify government in a time of peace? And the report comes back and says, well, war is the best way to justify government because people will give up their rights in exchange for security, But, you know, if you can't do that, then, well, what are the things about war we like? And boom, 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 boom. Says, okay, now let's go evaluate alternatives. And guess what? A global environmental crisis turned out to be one of the best solutions they felt as an alternative. And if you want a global government, you need a global problem. So a lot of what's going on in our world today is because these things cross political boundaries, therefore they create these things like the federal government itself, like all these NGOs and so forth that are destroying our actual government system.
And for our listeners,
I understand all of this stuff, and so when I put the Newswire together, I'm hoping that what I'm actually doing is providing relevant information. It's not just, you know, chat, but it's really relevant because I know what the answers are, and hopefully I'm helping the other people discover it on their own path.
And, you know, Kurt, I was just going to point out that the acronym NGO is non-governmental organization, and it just ties right into the fact that the way that the government has grown its power is to give a lot of authority to non-elected regulatory agencies. It's very difficult to take them on because you can't vote them out of office.
It's federalization. I mean, if you really take a look, mm-hmm. It goes back to, you had our states were sovereign nations, and they decided there was a common purposes like trade that they wanted to get together, go on, and security, and so they created this, you know, kind of an association called the federal government. It was the Articles of Confederation. And so it itself really wasn't a, you know, country. It was, you know, kind of a group of a place, a forum to talk about things. And look what's happened there. And they learned from that. Believe me, they're passing around the Fellows Papers. I mean, that's Alexander Hamilton. He was a monarchist. He was Rothschild's agent. I mean, this is all him. And they're passing this around and modernizing the arguments, but they're all basically always arguments why you go outside of the political boundaries. So they're now doing that at the city levels, you know, because creeks cross boundaries. Well, that has to be a regional issue. They're doing that with Agenda 21. Oh, my God, transportation. Well, that's regional. And so what's happening is that to all of our government entities, which have rules and regulations and delegation of authority that they have to comply by, disclosure laws and so forth, there's all these parallel government that's emerging off to the side and above these other entities, which are basically these non-elected, non-accountable, not subject to all these open laws that are planning the policies. And that goes right up to the United Nations, and that's why they now talk about world governance, not government, but governance. You know, government has two functions, policy and enforcement. And what's happening is the policy mm-hmm. component is being sucked out of our elected representatives and therefore leaving us completely unrepresented, moved over to these other entities which are setting the policies and then putting them back into the political process for enforcement. That's why we have legislatures up in, you know, Washington, D.C. They don't read anything. All they know is that's coming from somebody who'll give them money for their reelection. That's all they care about. And so these policies would be written by the New World Order's Globus and their attorneys and so forth and being shoved into the system. Well, now they're, you know, Agenda 21, and ICLEI is doing the same thing at the local level. So there's this whole parallel structure that has emerged.
And that's the part where people getting involved, for the folks that are going, no, it's even worse than I thought, or it's confirming what they already knew. The answer is to fight this stuff locally. We have got to band together, pay attention. There are a lot more people like us. I'm sneezing here.
And the local level is where absolutely everything begins. And, for, you know, very quickly before we go to break, mm-hmm. go to your city or your county planning commissions, look at their building codes. You'll see that they're international.
Yeah. And you know, if you can borrow from the international community on things that are useful, that's great. But to actually be controlled by that and give up our sovereignty to it, I believe most people would have a huge problem with. And a lot of people don't know. So we will be back in 2 minutes to discuss this further with Mr. Kirk McKenzie. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. We'll be right back.
Your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags. It's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
Don't let them kick your neighbor off his land. This is where we gotta make a stand. The stewards of this land are mom and pop. The government couldn't run a soda shop. I said freedom, freedom. Watch it slipping away. I said freedom, freedom. A little bit more each day.
Welcome back to We the People Radio. That's our own Mike Smith from Corning, California. Go to Big Dog Music. You can get his CD. I have it. It's great.
It is
road
great.
Trip music.
And if you're like, you what? What about the dog?
Big Dog Music
Go to ReadingTeaParty.com, scroll down, you'll see Big Dog Music Productions. It's a nice link, black and white. Click on it. You'll find some awesome
And actually,
artists.
A couple of weeks ago when I was on the road, Aaron did a show with a lot of the musical artists from Big Dog Music Productions. So
they were,
go back to the archives and listen to that. Super fun.
You'll see a show called Patriot Music Revolution, I believe we called it. And it was awesome.
So, you want to give us a call, 530-605-4567. And I think you folks know all the details, but I'll say them again. Go to wethepeopleradio.us. You'll find us streaming live and chatting like crazy. So, back to Kurt McKenzie. We were just talking about the local level and what we can do locally. And we just can't stress that enough. The way that the big picture works, especially with a country the size of our great United States of America, is that you have to break it down into bite-sized pieces, and that is what they are doing. They break it down to the local level, and they start enforcing their agenda at the local level, and that's how they can kind of take it over incrementally.
Sure. Policies made at the local level, good and bad. And if you're not making good policy at the local level, it could be bad. So that's where we need to be watching. The other thing is, too, people are, it's funny, you know, you think on a scale of 1 to 10, people are at a 10, you know, in the frustration level, and then something else happens. You're like, okay, now they're at 10. So people have been at 10 for 2 years, and very, very frustrated with what's going on. And something about getting together with people who think like you, and, you know, it's not just a voice on the radio. It isn't just someone on television saying something where you go, oh, thank goodness I'm not the only one. Getting together with people in your local area is really important.
And you'll find that these issues are crossing party lines. More and more, you will find common ground with those that may vote differently than you, because in the end,
sure,
we're all trying to live our lives, pay our taxes, perform our jobs, raise our families.
Well, shoot, look at the debt ceiling. I mean, everybody was mad. Left, right, everybody. Nobody was happy for different reasons, but everybody, you know, it was kind of a coalescing point. So jump on Kirk's Newswire, Kirk at K-I-R-K at silentnomorepublications.com. You will get great information in your inbox, and you're not going to get advertisements for, cars or pharmaceuticals or anything creepy. You don't get spammed through it. It's a really useful publication to keep up to speed outside the mainstream media, since so much of that is so highly filtered, and I think we overuse the word control, but just, you know, there's not a tremendous breadth of knowledge there, let's just say that. All right, Mr. McKenzie, we're in our last 40 minutes here. We don't want to miss anything good.
Let me just throw in one more thing to the Newswire, if I could.
Absolutely.
I have a YouTube. You know, I'm a big believer in YouTube as a way to get message out. I have a YouTube channel, and I encourage people to go there. Not only can you watch my videos, but I've actually accumulated, taken issues like education, like global warming. You know, I've taken chunks, and what I've done is I assembled some of the very best videos that I've come across over the years. If somebody wants to basically have the equivalent of a library, wants to catch up, wants to understand these different facets, you can go to one place and it's all there and it's in video and you can watch it, and you can watch it from the people who are the experts that are talking about it. So you go to www.youtube.com/ /silentnomorepubs, P-U-B-S, abbreviation for publication. So www.youtube.com/user/silentnomorepubs. And you'll find a wealth of information there, including 3 videos called Why We Are in So Much Debt, which parallel the book. You'll find a video called How to Take Your Country Back, which I've created, and then you're going to find dozens, maybe even hundreds, links to dozens, if not hundreds, of videos that you can just find a wealth of information there.
Perfect. And that's all on WeThePeopleRadio.us. It's all on that page there. We have it all linked. And you are going to be doing a series of videos for YouTube in this upcoming week. And you've got I know you haven't met the people, but I have. You have a killer lineup of folks that you're going to be interviewing.
Well, I am so looking forward to this. One of the messages that I have for the Tea Parties, the grassroots organizations, as part of the thing, is that they kind of develop spontaneously. They're independent. They're across the country. In order to win, we need to organize. And part of that is we need to get these groups communicating, coordinating, cooperating with each other. And we are making huge strides in just the last couple, 3 weeks in California to that end. We're leaders and activists across the state are beginning to hook up, share information. I mean, it's phenomenal what's happening. It's finally coming together. I am so excited that that's happening. I'm helping other states do that as well.
And you know, Kirk, on that point, it's all about coalition building. There are, instance, in Siskiyou County, you've got several different groups of people with similar but different interests all pulling together to fight the same battle. And just as you spoke, there are so many coalitions across the state of California. We're all fighting for the same thing, and the more we band together and pull together, the stronger we'll be.
Sure, and that's why we focus on a constitutionally limited government. We don't focus on no government.
No.
We always have people say, well, you guys advocate no government. It's like, well, that's silly.
No, we've never said that.
Constitutionally limited government and getting our free market to work again. And frankly, that's built into our Constitution. It's not built into our Constitution. Everybody sit on their hands and have the government take care of them, because where does the money come from? I mean, it just always breaks down. Where does the money come from? So, anyway.
So I'm with you. I'm 100% of this coalition. So I think the first thing to do is to take the active groups that are there and begin to hook them up. And that's, Tea Party, Campaign for Liberty, Conservative Forum, Second Amendment groups, immigration groups, whatever exists out there. There are a lot of different groups now that fundamentally fall inside the same tent, if we just realize that. And then once we're working together, I think we need to reach out. We need to reach out to America. This is, I think, something that we can do. It both is what this country needs is unification. They've divided us, and we can become the unifiers. I think it's our greatest opportunity. So this is why, for example, someone like myself, who lives in the San Francisco Bay Area, I want to come and listen to people out there in the heartland, the farmers and the ranchers and the timbermen. No more treat each other like, that's the other guy. White-collar people watch the blue-collar jobs go offshore. Well, that was a mistake. Now the white-collar jobs are either going offshore or we're having onshoring of competing labor. So now it's time to come together. And as part of that, we need to reach out to each other. And I think we have to take something from the liberal playbook. They built this Democratic Party from all these different constituencies which would otherwise hate each other. I mean, let's take African Americans, for example. They vote for the Democratic Party, but what does that party do? It's supporting immigration. If you're a union person, why the hell would you support the Democratic Party? But they do, right? Or the Hispanics, they're voting for it because they want immigration, are voting against their own Christian values.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what they've done is they've realized that different people have different hot buttons. And what you do is you reach out to people on their hot buttons. You don't go in preaching. You don't go in telling. You come in listening. And you help them with their hot button, and then your message to them is, look, we do everything I can do to help you with your hot button, but you have to understand that you're now part of this bigger tent, and you get what you want, but you have to help the other people too. and this is all part of this unification process. So we in the urban areas have got to understand that the people out there doing creating our food and creating the resources that are giving us our prosperity, hey, they're our folks. They are our jobs. They are our security. We have to embrace that and stand side by side.
Well, the other thing, too, is for the people in the urban areas, I know that just driving Northern California and Southern Oregon a week ago, you don't see the so much of the devastation in the, you know, like the Bay Area, for instance, when I was down there a few weeks ago. You don't see it there. They don't realize that when you see that California has a stated unemployment of like 11%, that that means in some places it's 25%. Yreka, you know, I mean, 2 weeks ago their movie theater closed, their bowling alley closed, and a laundromat, one of two, closed. How do you close a laundromat? What the heck? I mean, you would think that in any given time, and you look at how many people are losing their homes and have no washer and dryer now because they're living in rentals, and yet a laundromat is closing? I mean, that's a screaming indicator of poverty. So here are people living out there that can't make it. Well, where do you think they're going? I mean, they're going to have to live at the off the table scraps of the folks in the urban areas that can still make it, which isn't what they want to do, but they're not going to have a choice if this keeps going. Mm-hmm. So unless we band together and get our country, you know, and our state especially, up over the bar, this does affect everybody. It absolutely does. I mean, look at the crime. And
in the end, it will.
It's affecting them now.
Yeah.
I think anybody who looks at their local newspaper goes, I didn't remember that. I mean, last night we were at a local restaurant, and it was like, is it gang night tonight? I mean, we were the only people not wearing hats, it seemed, and everybody was wearing a hat, was wearing it sideways, and it was like, is the carnival in town or gang night? I mean, I guess I'm not very smart about which is which. They all look the same to me, but what the heck? It was a very dangerous-looking crowd. I thought, I don't remember that in our town at all. And I think we're seeing more and more of it. So
it's creeping.
It's going to take everybody doing something. And people who can't go to meetings can plug in online. They can plug in on radio. They can get the word out. People will believe you or they won't believe the media. We're going to come back in 2 minutes. Sorry about that. We ran a little over. With Kirk McKenzie, the author of Money, Defending Your Prosperity. We'll be back with you here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Woke up this morning, what did I say? Black cloud hanging over me. I switched on the radio and nearly dropped dead. The news was so bad that I fell out of bed. There was a gas strike, oil strike, lorry strike, a bread strike. Gotta be a Superman to survive. Gas bills, rent bills, tax bills, phone bills. I'm such a...
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Too many lies they spin across the ocean. Too much money they spin upon the moon. Well, until they make it right, I hope they never sleep at night. They better make some changes and do it soon.
Welcome back to We the People Radio. You know, there won't just be a revolution of the people, but there's definitely a musical revolution on the horizon, don't you think?
Yep, and if we can't call it out of an archive, we've got people writing that music. Very, very timely, the Patriot Music Revolution. Some of the stuff is tried and true stuff from the oldies archive, but I'll tell you what, there are a lot of people out writing stuff. So we were talking during the break there. The Gun Owners of California dinner was Friday night, and we needed a lot more patriots there, honestly. And,
yeah.
And we did I got to say, I'm like wagging my finger at myself. We should have done a better job at promoting. That is an awesome organization. Gun Owners of America is all the other 49 states, and in California we have our own set up by H.L. Richardson. But Gun Owners of California does a great job protecting our Second Amendment.
Yeah, they're one of the most successful lobby groups, not only nationwide, but in the state of California.
Gosh, they have done an awesome, awesome job. And so if you don't know about them, they do not compete with the NRA. It's not one's better than the other. They see themselves very much hand in hand, but they focus only on legislation in California. Yeah. So anyway, gun owners in California, got to put a plug in for them.
Yeah, and the dinner is always at the fairgrounds in Anderson, and it's always in August, and it's a fabulous event.
It's super fun. They do auctions, and they have silent auctions and regular auctions, and if you just want to go have dinner and have a great time, a lot of fun people. They've always got a good program,
it's a great opportunity to meet your local and state elected officials as well.
Absolutely. You got to hear your senator sing a song by Bad Finger or Big Finger or something Finger. I forget what it was. Bowfinger? No, that was a movie. Anyway, he was singing with Sam Paredes. We couldn't get the sheriff to do it. They were talking about auctioning off the sheriff's underwear. I mean, there's a lot planned for next year.
Yeah.
It went right off the rails.
Because of Joe Arpaio and his pink shorts.
The pink shorts. That spawned all sorts of ideas. So
yeah,
don't miss next year.
Like $300, didn't it?
Exactly.
The framed pink shorts from signed and autographed by Sheriff Arpaio.
Yeah, the guy with the pink jail down there. Everybody wants a pink jail. Everybody's like, can't we just send our prisoners to a pink jail, let them sleep on cots? No, but it's a fun idea, so we support him. And we're back with Kirk McKenzie, the author of Money, Defending Your Prosperity.
And we're excited to have him join us tomorrow night. And we'll, again, have that video of the meeting tomorrow night that will be a great companion to this show.
Perfect.
You don't have to live here, folks. We try to keep this show applicable to anyone, anywhere.
And timely in a wider sense, not something only happening tomorrow and then it's a dead idea. And Mr. McKenzie will be the hostage of Northern California for the week. we've slurped him up to Redding on Monday, and then we catapult him to Siskiyou County, where he's going to meet all sorts of people who are beset by the non-electeds, you know, whether it's fish and game or, you know, You name it, and they're after them. You know, water, land, everything. So you'll be looking at a slew of videos coming out. Be watching the website for that, because it's going to be awesome. All right. Wow. That was a lot of blabbing we did. Sorry. So what would you like to deal with here in this last half hour, Kirk, that people ought to know?
And what can people do? I mean, that's the biggest question we get, and we try to address that with every guest that we have on this show. You know, everyday people that were never involved in politics, that trusted in their local, state, and federal government, and now they realize they're being taken hostage. What can individual people do to make a difference?
A ton. They, honest to God, have a ton of things they could do if they want to put a little time into it. First off, they ought to be coming to your Tea Party meetings, absolutely, and not just coming and listening and educating themselves, but then to volunteer to help and jump in and understand, for people who come to these meetings, you know, everybody's volunteers. Nobody has all the magic answers. There's a little struggle here and struggle there. Jump in, help out, do what you can and contribute. I'll give you some simple ideas. For example, I'm a big believer in YouTube, because I believe that so many people, only 3% of the population reads a book. Number of people that read books on monetary system. You can get a sense of that by going into your bookstore and seeing how many books on the monetary system there are. I mean, it's minor, it's minuscule. So the purpose in writing that book has nothing to do with fame or fortune. But people will watch. You know, we've gotten to be a TV generation, and people will watch. And they'll watch either on YouTube or they'll watch the DVD equivalent. And I think it's a very powerful tool. But let me tell you something. You know, after 20 years of research and then having some skills to be able to put together, you know, I self-produce everything. I generate the video. I've purchased all the equipment. I have sound equipment, movie equipment, backdrop screens. I've designed it, put the presentations together with the animations. I mean, an enormous amount of time goes into this. And then I put it up on YouTube. And guess what? These things just don't go viral by themselves. My first video I put up, called "How to Why We're in So Much Debt Part 1, I put up there, and even with some people helping, it got to 820 views. I mean, next to nothing. And we, people on my team, really came up with some innovative ideas. And if a team will work together and I can educate them, train them how to do this, it's possible, and we've proven it. A few of us did this. We have tactics and techniques where you can actually bring viewers to these videos, and all of a sudden, within a span of about 2 weeks, if you count the number of people working together as a team to do this, each of us got about 2,000 views on average to come to watch that video.
Wow.
And guess what? Views started climbing, and now I think we're at about 16,500 views. And that did just happen virally. That's a struggle to get people to read something about the monetary system. So if you put together 10 people or 20 people, let's say 20 people, let's say 10, and I can show someone there who can then take the lead how to do this, that 10 people can probably bring about 100,000 views, excuse me, about 20,000 views to a YouTube video. So after all this week that I'm going to spend coming up there, and all the expense and the time, and believe me, it's going to be 5 to 10 times that amount of time to just produce a video. Nobody has an idea, really just doesn't comprehend how much work goes into that. I put it up in video in FUD. So if people begin to work with me, then when we have a video, say, on the Siskiyou County in the Heartland, which is a personal story about how Agenda 121 is destroying them, or we have one about the monetary system, or we have one about whatever issue we choose to go, if people help to launch these, it turns out you have a 2,000-to-1 multiple. I mean, this is the kind of multiple that we have to have. I mean, it's our greatest opportunity. And you put together a few 50 people, it'll be 100,000 views. And when you get to 100,000 views, you've launched it in a way that it now can go viral, what carries its own thing forward. So I've learned. So now how to take our country back, I'm proud to tell you, on YouTube is now up to 25,000 views. The total views of my channel is 75,000. That's nothing compared to some bigger channels, but if that's going to leaders and people across the country of these grassroots organizations, that is phenomenal. So that's something somebody can do. It only costs about half an hour to an hour a day for a week or two. You do it from your home. You're not being exposed, put to any risk, or if you're worried about that. You can also go ahead and connect the other people. You begin signing up for the newsletters. If you're interested in the money question, go ahead and sign up for people that are doing that and start to dial into their dialogue and listen to what they have to say. Go to their YouTube videos and help to get views to those videos. If you have a speaker, for example, myself, or let's say Sheriff Apayo or Sheriff Mack or, you know, Richard Kelly Grant, don't just come to the meeting and listen to him. Help to get him out there even further. So send out emails to your list and tell everybody about this person and how they hook up to that and what they ought to do. You know, help to multiply the effort. You know, I've done so many of these presentations, and it's kind of discouraging, to be honestly, because I come, I present, it was interesting, one of the best presentations we've ever had, and then next month we're off to the next topic. No.
Yeah, we can't do that. No, we can't do that anymore.
Yeah, you have to pick, and Aaron really understands this, you have to pick it up and run with it, do something with it. It's part of your program internally of action, not just education, action.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is everybody has to help multiply the effectiveness of the people that who are the experts, for example.
Sure.
That's another thing people can do. You can obviously get involved in your local elections. I think Agenda 21 is a local fight. I think that I'm coming up there to learn, not teach, but learn about coordination. I've watched the presentations that Fred Belly Credit Grant gave to your Vetting Tea Party, which is excellent. I watched the entire thing. I mean, what an incredible man, what an incredible resource. So there are really tons of things that people can do, and I encourage them to do that. You get enough people doing this, reaching out to other people, helping to multiply the impact, I guarantee you we're going to create a tsunami. We're going to create a tsunami of restoration, and it will be invisible. It'll be this energy. It's out there, and eventually it's going to come crashing on the shores and bring our country back.
Exactly. Wow, good timing on that.
Very nice.
All right, we're going to be back with you in 2 minutes. We're going to wrap up our second hour here with Kirk McKenzie, the author of Money. We're here at KCNR 1460 AM. Enjoy the song here at the home of Free Fire Media.
Mm-hmm. line is open on KCNR 1460. 530-605-4567.
You can sit around and wait for the phone to ring. Waiting for someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond.
Well, it's all.
Welcome back. The last 10, 15 minutes of We the People Radio.
Another Sunday morning.
Limited government. Not no government. Limited government. Fiscal responsibility and adherence to our great Constitution. And before I forget.
Because at the end of that comes free market solution again.
And prosperity.
Thank you.
For everyone.
There you go.
Hey, before we forget, because we always do, we want to plug Sovereign Minds, 6 o'clock tonight, KCNR 1460, hosted by Mark Kent. They have a very special guest tonight, Miss Janine Turner. If you remember Northern Exposure, that fabulous show that used to be on about 15, God, has it been 20 years? I don't know. Anyway, one of the celebrities in Hollywood who's actually conservative, and I guess she's quite the powerhouse.
Yeah,
so
very
she
cool.
On, she will be on with Mr. Mark Kent tonight, 6 o'clock, KCNR.
Right here, same time, same channel, sorry, not same
it.
Time, I lied. It's different time, 6 p.m. Sunday nights, every Sunday night. So we're back with Kirk McKenzie in the last 10 minutes or so. We've talked about problems. We've talked about solutions. What do you have for folks here at the end that you're thinking maybe is eluding the bulk of people, and we need folks to get out and get the word out? What are you thinking, Kirk?
Hope. I think there's hope, and I think that the Winston Churchill had the view that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. I think some people get so afraid of all this, they just put their head in the sand, they cringe, and no. Stand up. You don't have to be right out there in the front, but you can be out there supporting. I think there's hope. I think that if you have cancer, the first step to recovery is to find out you have cancer. And it's no fun to learn you got cancer. It's tremendously emotional. It affects your life. I mean, it changes your view on everything. But that's the essential step. Because once you know, then you can actually get a cure. You can then go on to have a healthy, prosperous life. You're going to go through chemo. There's going to be a period of time. But you're in the hope. What's really a problem is if you don't realize you have a problem or you misdiagnose the problem. If you think all you have is a stomach ulcer or, gas or something, Tums isn't going to do it. You're going to die. So understand that what we're going through right now is essential. It's necessary. Obama, I absolutely loathe the man, but understand he's just the front man. And
he has done wonderful things for conservative politics, however.
Yes, he
has.
We have him to thank for the resurgence of the conservative movement. Thank you.
The prior plan was the slow change. That was this thing is being implemented worldwide in Russia and China. It was a revolutionary approach they took, and they learned that people who are oppressed understand they're oppressed. They're not motivated. They just do the minimum. The economy dies. So they learned that didn't work. They tried a separate experiment here in the United States, probably because we were armed and we had a Second Amendment right. They couldn't take the other approach. And it's been slow as you go, and it never reaches the point where the people actually revolt. You could take a little bit away, and then you could take a lot if you take it a little at a time. They're trying to take a lot at one time, and it's really woken people up. People like Glenn Beck have helped that. People like Ron Paul has helped that. So I think that this is actually an encouraging point. There is no doubt they are all in. They are all in. They are working 24/7 at every single level to make their vision come because they know their time is limited. And so they're going to do everything they can to identify us, to track us, to profile us. There's all kinds of things they're going to do that are pretty horrendous. Their day is coming. I got to tell you, their day is coming.
Well, and to rush through policy, that's, I mean, part of that, what you just outlined is the rush to get policy through. I mean, approval ratings are very, very low. So in that regard, I mean, we're coming up on the last, 12 months. So there are certain things that have to be done at certain times. And somebody was talking to me the other day, and they said, if they were to be able to do it by executive fiat, they could breach those dams up there in Siskiyou County and not wait to have them removed, just breach the dams. And it's like, I just stood there dumbfounded. I'm like, I never even thought about that. But that's true. I mean, there could be, can be, I guess what I would say, extreme solutions, but just to get the thing done before there's any kind of a change. So I think in the next year, it's not just the election, but I think people really, really need to have their ear to the ground and be working together, and because it's going to take all of us.
And they will throw distractions out there so that we're not seeing what's happening on the sidelines. Just be prepared for that.
Yeah, everybody would prefer that we all fight with each other, which, happens occasionally. But, usually it's kind of like a family. I grew up in a big family. And
so did I.
I grew up in a big family. And
so did I.
It was cool to beat up each other until somebody else came in. Wait a second.
Only I get to do that.
Yeah, we only get to beat up each other. So, what are you seeing down there in the Bay Area, just as a little snippet for perspective, I guess, for us?
Well, probably the recent thing that Aaron, who had a meeting here locally on Agenda 21, which ended up having participants from the state of California, but it was a powwow where we brought together all these different groups. For the past couple of years, it's been difficult to get everybody to come together, but in fact, we finally got it to happen, and I am so excited because the energy that will come out of this is amazing. So all of a sudden, the groups are, in fact, reaching out, and they are connecting, and they are communicating, and they are working. And I'll tell you something, the pace at which we can move forward now has increased by at least 10 to 20 times, because things can happen so fast when you finally find the formula for unleashing the people that are concerned.
Sure. I mean, Robert does an awesome job with the webpage at wethepeople.us. Any of those shows that you click on in the archive, this program, in just a couple hours or less, he'll have it up in an archive form. So you can take the page that you linked to get to us if you're listening online. You can actually go back to that, and it's an archived page, which means it has its own address. So people don't have to go to a generic site and go search. You can actually click on a program that you want someone to hear, send them that link, and it's always there. And if any updates come to that program, any new links that should be added, that page will update in the background. So it's never old, never stale, never out of date.
And just as a side note,
how can you not do that?
Yeah.
That's fast. It's free, too.
Kudos to Robert. He's just amazing.
Yeah, major kudos. He puts that page together.
He's been one of our greatest finds.
And then you got all these folks online that are constantly posting videos and links. Like somebody's on our chat room saying, United We Fall is a great documentary on the move to global government. So people are sharing information, needs to be in a... we got to step it up.
Technology is going to be critical at this point. I mean, we know that the other side uses it, so that's how we share information.
And having guests like you on the radio and at meetings and things points people to sources that are accurate and factual and not just scary and overwhelming. Because scary and overwhelming doesn't motivate people.
they need to have something they can do.
If they feel like they've got to go be an expert, they don't have time. But they can share information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather have them watch, listen to, 20 minutes of this program than not listen at all. I mean, they'll pick up something that they didn't know most of the time. Do you find that the folks in the Bay Area are galvanizing, Kirk? I know that East Bay Patriots is doing a great job.
Absolutely. I mean, there's really has been some really great people that are in the organizations down here. And he has been to figure out how to get them to come together and work in a fashion. I call it C3, communicate, coordinate, and cooperate. In other words, synergy. And we are getting there. And I think that once we have this thing is just going to go sweeping across the state of California. We're going to empower everybody here. And it's going to sweep across other states. And I think that things are going to happen very quickly. And once enough people begin to understand and they begin to, figure out how they can make a difference, I think we can move mountains.
I think so, too. And people are, you know, it's funny. We say this a lot, but a lot of times people are looking for somebody to come and save us. You know, we're looking for George Washington. We're looking for an Abraham Lincoln. We're looking for
Jackson.
We're looking
for
a person. And
those people are us.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing.
It's everybody.
The ones that are going to save us are us.
Mm-hmm. This is our time to everybody be a piece of the solution rather than wait for one person to come in. I don't see in our lineup right at the moment that... Uh-oh.
I think we lost him.
I do believe he said Andrew Jackson, and then he got disconnected. Don't say Andrew Jackson.
We lost him a minute too soon.
Thanks, Kirk, for being on.
We'll see you tomorrow night.
Yeah, we're almost done. So, guys, send this archive to people who need the information. Send them the webpage and have them do some reading, especially the folks you know that are not getting outside the mainstream media. They might be shocked to find out there's a lot more going on, mm-hmm. and there are a lot more resources than they originally thought. Oh, he's calling us back, perhaps, and we'll get to say bye to him. Hey, never a dull moment here. And you know what? We were just laughing during the break. You know, we like to share all our faux pas with you because, you know, nobody listens to the radio just for the info. Sometimes the goofing off is worth something.
Yeah, because it's Sunday morning and we're so very human.
So we've got Kirk on there.
Thank
you, Kirk.
For the
last 20 seconds, we wanted to thank you very much. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
I'm looking so forward to it, and Sue as well, my wife. 35 years.
Excellent. You bringing her with? She's coming with?
Oh, she's a phenomenal woman. She's with me all the time, behind me 100%. She goes where I go.
Nice. See you tomorrow.
Kirk McKenzie, guys. Send the show out to somebody you know and love.
We the People Radio signing off for another week here at KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.